year. Remember that guy? Every once in a while, he'd show up out of the blue and do something amazing, like take me flying in a private plane. Yeah, he was a pilot. Another time, he gave me this computer that was so advanced, it wasn't even in stores yet. You know the calculator I have that you input numbers by talking to it? That was from Uncle Press. I gotta tell you, he was the coolio uncle everybody wished they had. But there was always something a little mysterious about Uncle Press. He was my mom's brother, but she didn't say much about him. It was almost like she felt weird talking about him. Whenever I asked, she'd shrug and say something like, "Oh, you know him, he's his own man. How was school today?" Basically, she'd dodged the question. I don't know what he did for a living, but he always had boatloads of money. I figured he probably had some top-level government job, like doing research for NASA or something, and it was all hush-hush. So I didn't ask too many questions. He wasn't married, but sometimes he'd show up at the house with some odd character. One time, he brought this lady over who never said a word. He said she was his friend, but I got the feeling she was more like his girlfriend. I think she was African or something because she was real dark-skinned and beautiful. But it was strange because she'd just stare at me and smile. I wasn't scared or anything because she had soft eyes. And maybe she didn't talk because she didn't know English, but still it was kind of creepy. I'd have to say that my Uncle Press was the coolest guy I'd ever met. That is, until yesterday. The county semifinal basketball game was last night. You know how important I am to that team. I'm the highest scoring point guard in Stony Brook Junior High history. I'm not bragging, that's just the way it is. So for me to miss that game would have been like Kobe Bryant missing a Lakers playoff game. Okay, maybe I'm not that important. But it would not have been cool for me to bail on that game. Mom and Dad had already left for the gym with Shannon. I had a ton of homework, and I knew I'd be fried afterward, so I had to get it done before leaving. I had just enough time to scarf down a banana and some Pop-Tarts, feed Marley, jump on my bike, and blast over to school. At least, that was the plan. I can't help but think that if I had done my homework just a little bit faster, or decided not to throw the tennis ball with Marley, or even waited till I got to school to take a leak, none of this would have happened. But it did. I grabbed my pack, headed for the front door, threw it open, and came face to face with Courtney Chetwynd. I froze. She froze. It was like somebody hit the pause button on two lives. Except there was nothing static about what was racing through my brain. The crush I had on her dated back to when we were in grade school. She was always so perfect. But not in that unattainable, she's too good for everybody way. She was beautiful and smart and great at sports, and she laughed and told jokes. I think that was the key. The fact that she told jokes. Maybe that sounds stupid, but if you tell jokes, it shows you're willing to look stupid. And if you got the whole package going on and still willing to let people laugh at you, then, man, what else do you want? Of course, I wasn't the only one who felt this way about Courtney. I was one in a long line of admirers. But she was standing at my front door. Instantly, every synapse in my brain started firing to try and find the perfect, spontaneous thing to say. The first words out of your mouth in a time of crisis can color someone's opinion of you forever. It either shows that you're totally in charge and ready to handle any situation with composure and wit, or that you're a blundering idiot whose mind will freeze at the first sign of pressure. This all flashed through my brain in the few nanoseconds while we were on pause. Now it was my move. She came to my house. It was my turn to respond. So, I hitched my pack up on my shoulder, leaned casually against the door jamb, gave her a little smile, and said, "Yo." Yo? That's not even a real word. Nobody says yo, unless they're impersonating Sylvester Stallone, which I was definitely not doing. I was all set for the smile to drop off her face in crushing disappointment as she turned and left without saying a word.